Also in Re Nuvasiv. And Mr. Rosato, when you're prepared, go ahead and begin. Okay, thank you.
Thank you again, and may it please the court.
Nice to see you again, Mr.
So in this case, again dealing with spinal fusion implants, here the board's finding of unpatentability should be reversed because starting with their two issues, I'm going to address the rationale to combine issue first, but even assuming that these references are prior art, the board here failed to provide reasons why a person of ordinary skill in the art would have combined the asserted references. The entirety of the board's reasoning is found at A11 through A13, and the issue was whether a person of ordinary skill in the art would have any reason to modify the primary references, which were posterior inserted implants or implants designed for posterior insertion, to include radiopaque markers located in the medial plane.
Are you gonna abandon the accessibility of the references argument?
No, Your Honor.
Okay. Well, you challenged public accessibility during institution proceedings, but you didn't challenge it during the trial phase.
Mm-hmm.
How are you not barred from challenging under Cuozzo?
Under Cuozzo?
Yeah.
Well, excellent question. So actually, if you look at what the board said in their institution decision, we're not necessarily challenging that, but it only goes so far. What the board said in their institution decision, that's at A186, is mm-hmm. that essentially, the board recognized the deficiencies with the evidence that that Nuvasiv was identifying their preliminary response. The board didn't disagree with that. They specifically noted the vague and general nature of that evidence and said, this is good enough to get you institution at the lower standard for institution.
We understand all those facts, but then at the hearing,
right.
Judge Green said, I take it you are no longer disputing the public availability of the Telemann reference. And Mr. Nelson, a different counsel, not you, said that is correct.
Right.
We're leaving that issue aside.
Right.
No
yeah.
longer disputing. How does that not constitute a waiver of the issue? And it was never brought up at any other point during the hearing. It's not like he said, when we said not disputing, we meant not right now, we're going to dispute it later. There was never another... Why would the board have reached public accessibility? Why would they need to resolve your dispute, which had been very efficiently and well laid out earlier at the petition level? But here, when it got to trial, I take it you are no longer disputing. That's correct, Your Honor.
Yeah.
Absolutely
fair question, Your Honor.
You gave me a lot on that one. Go ahead.
Yeah. So if you look at the whole quote, I mean, it's. We wish he was more clear on that. What
you wish he was less clear.
Well, look at the rest of his statement. He goes on to note a number of other things that he's not going to be addressing, and specifically says, "I'm not abandoning those issues." So it was a terribly articulated statement, but at best, it's ambiguous, and he's not trying to expressly abandon it. He is trying very inarticulately to express what he's prioritizing.
Well, if you went to the merits, each of those references is copyrighted, right, in 2002 or 2003
yeah.
and has a 1-800 number on it. Aren't they inherently publicly accessible?
Well, I mean, copyright, maybe that illustrates it was fixed in a tangible medium of expression, but it doesn't address public accessibility. They may have put it in print, but this goes to the issue of scope of review. I mean, there's a reason why.
But isn't there a copy on file of by law with the Copyright Office?
It doesn't say registered. It just says copyright. So there's not a registration. So there's no indication, for example, this went to the Library of Congress.
Were these user manuals?
I think they're brochures. And it was a sales brochure.
And they say for reference only on them. And you make an argument that indicates confidentiality. But why isn't it equally possible that it indicates a limitation of liability?
We just don't know what it means. That's the point.
That makes it a weak point.
It was the same thing the board noted in their institution decision, which is the evidence at best is vague and general, and it meets the lower standard, but there's an indication there it doesn't meet the higher standard. There are problems with this. The problem in the context of this type of review are two things. One, these reviews are specifically designed to be limited to prior patents and printed publications because these proceedings are designed to encompass a use type case of what's out there in the market or what people are using. The discovery tools and the timing just doesn't comport with that type of case. But two, the rules specifically give Medtronic an opportunity, and this is what the board is signaling, to file a motion for supplemental information under Rule 42.123 to add information to substantiate their case. There's a timing for doing that within 1 month of institution. Medtronic never did that. So if you look at what the board said, they're saying, Medtronic, you get in, but it's not very good, and you bear the ultimate burden on this. Never flipped to NuVasive to satisfy this. So at the end of the day, Medtronic didn't do anything to correct this. And it leaves the issue open.
If you don't mind, okay.
Yeah.
If you don't mind, I'd rather you get to your motivation to combine point. And in particular, why don't you start with why isn't Dr. Yuan's testimony, which identified advantages of the particular kinds of implants and arguably the combination, why isn't that sufficient? Why couldn't the board rely on that to supplement or provide adequate support for a motivation to combine, which is a question of fact that we review for substantial evidence? So I don't get to look at this de novo. So why isn't that good enough?
Sure, because he's not talking about state-of-the-art prior to the invention. He's talking about a NuVasive implant that embodies the claimed invention that arose after the filing date. And he's explaining that the markers placed in the medial plane of that NuVasive implant provided the ability to line up the middle of the implant in a lateral procedure with an anatomical reference point, the spinous process, which is basically the bony ridge down the posterior surface of your back. But in a lateral procedure, those markers allowed alignment and positioning of the lateral implant. So it doesn't work for two reasons. One, he's not talking about state-of-the-art prior. He's talking about benefits realized. Two, the very things he's talking about don't apply to the different type of implants that are being modified. Those are posterior implants that come in from the back and go anterior to posterior to anterior. So you've got the anatomical reference point that bears no relation to the positioning of that type of implant.
Can I ask you, I guess, a version of that question, but not for Yuan, but rather for paragraph 68 of, is that Hines?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
On page A591. Now, in the board opinion, this is again in the, I think what Mr. Mittal called in the earlier case, the framing of the debate rather than kind of findings by itself. So I realize that may be very significant, but I'm going to try to put that aside for a minute. The board says at A9, which happens happily to be page 9 of its opinion.
Mm-hmm.
According to petitioner, it would have been obvious to the ordinary artisan at the time of invention to include the radio path markers of Bocelli in the implants of SBS or Telemann in order to provide additional information regarding location and orientation of the implant, both during surgery and after implantation. And it cites this paragraph on page A591, which is not written about later knowledge of benefit, but is actually written, it is my opinion that prior to the earliest effective date, a person of ordinary skill in the art would have considered it, blah, 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 to provide additional information.
Mm-hmm.
Assume with me, for purposes of this question, though I know you will disagree, that that might be taken to be a agreement with that point, because the board immediately goes on to say, well, patent owner responds this, we're not persuaded by the response. I realize that there was a bit of a jump there.
Mm-hmm.
On the merits, assuming this were a finding, what would be insufficient about it, putting aside you on just this?
Yeah, why isn't that good enough, in other words? And this was a point of dispute or point of contention by NuVasive, is that so vague in general in nature, simply saying, hey, you get more information and it's common sense to want more information, doesn't provide a sufficient reason why you would want that information.
Provide additional information regarding the orientation or location of an implant during surgery. I mean,
what is that information?
Well, you want to see where the thing is. Mm-hmm.
I want to address that in two parts. One is why standing alone isn't good enough, because it doesn't say what kind of information you want. When combined with the rebuttal evidence,
well, it does in the sense that it's placement in space.
Right, but remember,
it seems like a big deal.
Yeah.
And it is, but it's a big deal that's met by the fact that those implants already have radiopaque markers on them. They're just put in different places.
Right.
And they're put there because those places make sense in the context of that type of implant.
The other ones, they're just two, one kind of front and one distal, right, one proximal?
Correct.
And so then Telemann and SVS say, well, if you put two more in, it allows us more information about orientation in space.
Well, okay, so just to correct that, SVS and Telemann have markers at the front and the back. That makes sense for
one each. Okay.
And that makes sense for the purpose of advancing something posterior to anterior and making sure you go far enough but not too far, and you can measure where the ends of the implant are relative to the disc space. Adding markers to the middle only makes sense when it doesn't make any sense or provide any useful information in that context. It provides noise in a signal-to-noise situation. It just doesn't give you signal, in other words, right? So that's a rationale problem. If you can add noise, it gives you more information. There's just no reason to do it, and that actually is consistent with additional information from both experts, both of them saying that sometimes, yes, the state of the art was you generally want as little as possible, and designers are very purposeful about where you place.
As little as necessary.
As little as necessary, yeah. If it's not necessary to, when there's no reason to put markers in the middle of a short, stubby implant, you don't do it. The only reason arises when you do what NuVasive did, which is you're lengthening out an implant and designing it to come in from a different implant, right? Then you bring in different anatomical reference points, and now you have a reason why that helps you and makes sense.
You're well into your rebuttal time. Would you like to save some?
I'll save a little bit and let counsel speak. Thank you.
You're going to get awfully comfortable in Medtronic shoes.
Your Honor, the office only intervened in this appeal about a week ago, and in its intervention notice promised not to file a brief and to be available to respond to questions. In the absence of initial questions, I would like to respond to some of the points raised by NuVasive.
Mainly, I want to know about motivation to combine. I don't talk about public accessibility. Just drop that point. Go right to motivation to combine.
The motivation to combine in this case, as Judge Toronto noted, it's stated by the board at page 9 of its opinion. It effectively credits the petition's arguments. It then weighs NuVasive's responding.
You might want to have emphasized more the word effectively.
Effectively, yes, Your Honor. I'll underline that. The board then goes on to consider NuVasive's counterarguments that this is vague, it doesn't provide a rational underpinning.
What Judge Toronto meant, was that an adjective or an adverb?
whichever suits the case, Your Honor. I'm afraid I've lost the point. But
joking aside, the statement by the board on page 9 is according to petitioner, it would have been obvious. And clearly that entire paragraph is an articulation, in fact, with quotes, petitioner's petition. That's not a fact finding by the board, clearly, right?
You're right, Your Honor.
Right? And the next paragraph is patent owner
Yes.
And that's not a fact finding. So you hinge everything on the single sentence that says we're not persuaded by patent owner's argument. Well, I understand you're not persuaded by patent owner's argument. Does that really mean you have adopted precisely the argument petitioner that you quoted earlier when you said it's their argument?
Effectively.
Yes. No, I get that part, but that's where I'm a little...
Your Honor, these are adjudicative proceedings, and the board is presented with arguments from both sides. It listens to one side and explains its position, then hears from the other, and then makes a judgment.
It sure would be better, instead of saying we are not persuaded by patent owner, since the burden of proof in this petition is on the petitioner, right? Patent owner doesn't have to persuade you of anything. Who has to persuade you?
The petitioner always bears the burden in these
right.
proceedings.
So the petitioner has to persuade you. So to say you're not persuaded by the patent owner, I really accept it as a given that the petitioner has therefore persuaded
it's
you?
It's perhaps an inelegant formulation in this case, but when all the information on those three pages is viewed in context, it's clear the board is addressing the issue of was there a motivation to combine. It's weighing the preliminary evidence. It doesn't credit the initial information in the petition because that's only partial evidence. It hasn't considered the rebuttal yet, and then it hasn't further considered the reply evidence. The board did what an adjudicator is supposed to do in these cases. It weighs the evidence from both sides and then decides if the party who bears the burden has met that burden.
Where did it decide where the party who bears the burden has met the burden?
There's no one sentence that states that. In many of the board's petitions, the decisions, the board doesn't expressly cite the burden, but it's presumed to follow its own rules, and it's certainly aware of its own rules. And in this case, again, when everything is viewed in context, it's considering both sides' arguments, and it's simply persuaded by one side rather than the other. That's what happens in an adjudicative proceeding when both sides present their evidence back and forth, and the board makes its final judgment under its rules. The board was clearly apprised of a dispute over whether there's a motivation to combine. You clearly had NuVasive coming in its patent owner response and contesting whether the motivation to combine presented by petitioner was sufficiently specific, whether it presented a rationale. Medtronic then came back and provided reply evidence and further elaborated on its rationale. It further explained what's meant by orientation. And I'd also refer the court back to all of this comes out of the initial reference, Baselli. It's Baselli that tells you that placing markers in a particular location tells you about their location and orientation, both before and after the surgery. And this isn't a case where we only have radiopaque markers in the prior art at the two ends, and the question is, oh, would someone have understood, been motivated to move them to the center? Baselli itself teaches...
Baselli's the spikes.
Yes. Yeah. Baselli itself teaches radiopaque markers at that medial location.
Or it can be read.
Yes, it teaches them as an alternative embodiment.
No, I want to say, it seems to me even the language of Baselli need not have been read to teach that, but it can be.
It can reasonably be understood that way. Yeah. Certainly there was substantial evidence to support the board's finding. At paragraph 51 of Baselli, Baselli's been talking about these two spikes, the two spikes 24 that earlier at paragraph 44 are described as symmetrically disposed to each other across the sagittal plane. In figure 2 of Baselli, it clearly shows the spikes 24 at the middle.
Not to beat a dead horse, but where does the board say precisely that Baselli... where is that fact-finding? Is this all captured in the "we don't find petitioner persuasive" sentence? Or is there actually a fact-finding somewhere in the opinion about Baselli? Because I agree with you, there is substantial evidence in Baselli for such a fact-finding. I'm just curious where the... Is it really all that one sentence?
Your Honor, it's not one sentence. It's the whole two pages read in context.
Where does it mention Baselli?
I believe it does cite Baselli.
On page 11,
we do not
find patent owner's argument persuasive as petitioner notes Baselli teaches the use of radiomarkers in the central regions of an implant.
Yes.
So that sounds like a fact-finding, right?
Yes. And
it
cites to paragraph 51 of Baselli.
Yeah.
That's the paragraph that talks about making the two markers, the two spikes 24
okay.
radiopaque.
See, that feels good to me. That feels like a fact-finding. Very precise.
And then there's the motivation question.
The question of motivation to combine, or motivation.
Why somebody would have gone about? I mean, there's no question. This is a fact finding that says Baselli has this.
Right?
But why would somebody have?
You know, the origin of the motivation begins just a paragraph earlier in Baselli, and paragraph 50, stretching across pages 750 to 51. Baselli talks about two other radiopaque markers, 47, and it notes that using radiopaque markers helps you understand the position and location of the implant both before and after surgery. In the next paragraph, it says you can also put the markers in the middle, but is general teaching about the value of radiopaque markers should at least carry over to the next paragraph. They're being used there for the same purpose. Uvasa's only argument in response is, oh, that's too many markers. It's, you know, it's too confusing. But the board didn't credit that argument. It said, you know what, these spinal surgeons, we think they're smart guys. A guy of ordinary skill would have known not to use too many markers. And if markers at the ends show you position and orientation, that's what markers do generally, and markers at the middle can show you the same thing. In their reply...
Do you have anything further you want to add, Mr. Rattel?
I yield
Thank
the
floor. Thank you. We got your argument. Thank you very much. It's very helpful to have the PTO stand in this instance when we didn't have a red brief person anymore. So thank you for doing that. You have some rebuttal time.
Thank you. I'm just going to make one comment on the Baccelli reference. Sorry, I'm Italian.
Don't be surprised.
I have to pronounce it. And that's not my only comment. So on the teachings of Baccelli, I want to make clear. So while the board may have assumed that Baccelli is teaching these markers in the medial plane, we disagree with that interpretation, obviously. But the more pertinent point is the board's relying very, very heavily on Baccelli, and almost exclusively, if you, depending on how you read their reliance on the Yuan testimony. But the rationale, according to the board's decision, comes entirely from Baccelli. So taken in that context, you would expect to see some generalized teaching about the benefits of markers in this in these positioning across a range of implants, but that's not a teaching that's found, and there is no fact-finding on that point.
Well, assume for purposes of this question that the board found and could find, based on paragraph 51 of Baccelli, that Baccelli discloses making the medial spikes radial. Okay. What is left of the... What still needs to be shown or found by the board for the obviousness case?
Sure. Why you would look to a horseshoe-type cervical implant, if assuming your facts, Your Honor,
yes.
why you would look to a horseshoe-shaped cervical implant that
That's
goes in
Baccelli.
One part of the spine of Baccelli and take that same type of design or take the aspects of that design, apply it to a different type of implant that goes in posteriorly in the lumbar region. There's no reason why.
So there's still an additional need for a motivation to combine even what is, by assumption, found in Baccelli with the, this is what, SVS again?
SVS and Telamon, yes. Exactly. So even if one were to assume Baccelli teaches those markers, why you would take that design feature and apply it to a different, very different type of implant.
So, to get back to the place, I guess at A9, page 9 of the board's decision, where it is reciting the petitioner's argument based on paragraph 68 of Hines, that's A591, and not really using the, not in fact using the language of finding. How do we think about whether, as I think Mr. Mattal suggests, we can say what they were doing here was effectively making the finding, because they're saying, here's what it is, you have one response to it, we're not persuaded by the response, and instead of, and they should have written a sentence that we therefore credit petitioner's position. They didn't put that sentence in. What is there really a doubt about what they meant there?
I think there's not a doubt that they weren't crediting that argument. They were coming back to Baccelli and saying, Baccelli. Nuvasiv, it's fine you argue this, but there's Baccelli. And you can see this at A11 through A13, multiple instances. They, to address arguments that were raised, they come back to Baccelli and say, well, you argue that, but Baccelli teaches markers in the media plan. You argue confusion, but Bocelli teaches. You know, you argue there's no reason to do this, but Bocelli teaches. So again, this comes back to, well, what does Bocelli teach? What it doesn't have is some generalized teaching that, you know, this is a wonderful feature to apply across a wide range of different types of implants. In fact, we don't think they show in even theirs.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Rosato. The case is